In today's fast-paced world, your business deserves banking solutions that are as dynamic and cost-effective as you are. Solutions like free business checking from LGE Community Credit Union, free online and mobile banking, no minimum balance required, plus no maintenance fees and dividends on your balance. At LGE, we're a smarter way to bank. See what's possible for your business at lgeccu.org. No monthly maintenance fees. Other service fees such as NSF, overdraft, wire, and stop payment fees still apply. Not all businesses will qualify. Membership eligibility and base savings account that keeps a $5 minimum balance required.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey guys, sports betting season is in full force. NHL and NBA playoffs, we enjoyed those, and now football season is here. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. US. You can receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. No matter what the season, BetUS has all the games, NBA, NHL, team, player props, loads of NFL and college plays, whether futures or individual game odds. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf, and round matchups and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and partner with a sports betting company with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
One of the biggest games of the weekend is about what we don't know. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday, and Auburn goes on the road in the Big Ten for the first time since 1931. Now, there are all manner of anecdotal little notations that you can make about team schedules. And some of them in the South, I wasn't planning to go there, but some of these are just, they sound made up. But Florida, for instance, until they opened in Dallas against Michigan, there was a stat that they hadn't played a non-conference team outside the state of Florida since, I think they went to Syracuse in the mid-90s. Alabama, you're aware that Alabama did not lose a single game at Bryant-Denny Stadium for, I want to say, like 10 or 11 years. At some point from the early 70s to the early 80s, they didn't lose at Bryant-Denny. Now, they didn't play their biggest games there. Everybody thought that, you know, the Iron Bowl, that's what you got used to seeing on ABC. And it was, obviously, it was the AstroTurf, and oh, yeah, it's in Birmingham. So that's where Auburn and Alabama played, right? Yeah, it is. Well, that's also where Alabama and LSU played, and that's where Alabama and Tennessee played, and it's where Alabama and Georgia played. Bama's biggest games were in Birmingham. Who did they play in Tuscaloosa that they went undefeated over? Tulane and Memphis and Southern Miss. Until I think Southern Miss and a guy named, I think Reggie Collier was the quarterback that day. They got him. And that was kind of people looking around going, Bear, what's up? And he's like, yeah, maybe I ain't going to coach anymore. So that's ancient history, as is Auburn's 1931 trip to Camp Randall, which at the time held like 30-something thousand, and Auburn tied him 7-7. So fast forward 90 years, and Auburn's got a road game in the Big Ten. It's 7 o'clock. Kick Eastern, 6 Auburn time, And it's a whiteout, which means all the folks in the stands are supposed to wear white T-shirts. That's what they do. Dan, is it Penn State that also throws the toilet paper on the court after the first basket? Do you know about that?
I do not. I know about their dance marathon is the only other thing I know about with Penn State. And I guess they have some, like, big ice cream shop on campus.
Dance marathon. I did not know about that. Well, mm-hmm.
It's called the Thon.
Okay. Find out about, I think it's Penn State basketball. I think they have the tradition. They throw the toilet paper on the court. In fact, I'm pretty sure I don't have any idea the significance. I don't know anything about it. But they're having their whiteout. And it's 90,000 people or 100,000, whatever, you know, they sit there. And it's going to be packed, and it's going to be loud, and it's going to be a night game, and it's going to be frigid. Did y'all, 63 degrees at kick. Ooh, those Auburn boys won't be able to handle the Arctic North. So that's the setup for the game.
I think you're thinking of William Penn as the one that does it.
That's got to be it. All right. Auburn has beaten its first two opponents 122-10. If that is all you knew about the first 2 weeks of the season, had not seen a play, don't even know who I'm talking about. Like, I would ask you right now, if all you knew was, hey, Chuck, how you doing? Hey, Steve, by the way, there's some college football team. They're 2-0. They beat their first two opponents 122-10. I'm not going to tell you anything else. What do you think? Give me a conclusion about either Team A, who was 2-0, or either of the opponents, week one or week two. Now, I actually played this out before the show. I said, hey, Dan, there's a team that won its first two games by a combined score of 122-10. Tell me any conclusion you can make from that. I'm not going to give you any more details. You know, talk back. He was like, they played two pretty bad teams. Funny. I watched literally every snap of both of the first two games. And the reason I said, you're like, so what, Chuck? They're your alma mater. No, they played Akron and Alabama State, and there were a lot of other good games on at the same time. But no, I watched every last snap of those two games. Dan, not only, I'm going to guess Dan hasn't watched a bit of Auburn football this year, and he shouldn't have. And I did not get, he didn't have any of that. I had all the information. Dan thought I was talking about a mystery team floating out in the ether.
I thought you were talking about Presbyterian, the guy that doesn't punt, kick, all those different types of things.
All right. So, literally had no clue. I had all the clues. We came up with the exact same conclusion. My number one takeaway right now, and I will quote Dan, who had no information, they played two pretty bad teams, didn't they? I was like, yeah, they did. Now, here's what I do know about Auburn for Saturday night's game. Nobody on that roster is going to be spooked by the stadium, by the crowd. It's a night game, whatever. It's an SEC squad. Nobody in that league gets scared by the stage. It's too weak to week for that to happen. Even those, what is the derisive term for Texas from A&M, the T-Sippers?
T-Sippers, TU, either
okay.
One.
Okay, and so what is the derisive term for the Aggies? The one you could say on the air or no?
I really think I can say that one on
okay.
Air.
I would say, except for, and I believe, the soft Aggies, when they came into the conference, do you remember them talking specifically about the LSU student section? Because I guess in Baton Rouge, and I've been there a couple of times, but I never paid attention to it, the LSU students sit right behind the visitor's bench. And that's not an unusual thing in the SEC. And it was either there or the Swamp, I'm remembering. And Texas A&M complained to the league about it.
I think it was Missouri, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it?
Could have been them. Absolutely. That might be it. And the SEC's like, yeah, we don't know your gentleman's agreement in any other conference, but that's up to the stadium. That's up to the school. That's up to the program, et cetera. And there was something to say about it. Well, we don't like that. Tour the SEC and guess where you're going to find students sitting. I dare say Alabama lost the Iron Bowl. It might have been 05, I'm trying to remember. Alabama might have lost the Iron Bowl at the coin toss. Because whatever year Brody got sacked 12 times, you go back and you can go YouTube this. It wasn't because Brody Croyle got spooked or was scared or what. It's because he couldn't hear. So that can be a factor. Not understanding or hearing or whatever. Alabama won the toss, took the ball. Tuberville's like, yeah, we'll kick down there. Alabama, it's like, it didn't cross midfield. Or didn't cross the 20. They never got out of the student section. They literally, the entire front, never got out of the student section. And that's why you, next day, bumper stickers, honk if you sack Brody. Offensive lineman, 2 feet away, couldn't hear him. So that can be a physical thing, but as far as, oh my gosh, there's a lot of people, I'm scared. No, that's not going to happen. I know that Auburn has one of the best running backs in the country. I know that they have a skilled veteran quarterback. And I don't have any snark to add to that, and I know that there would be even some Auburn fans who would. I don't. I think Bo has been... He was complicit a little bit, but this is funny. It's like forced complicit. Like, when he arrived, hi, I'm Bo Nix. Welcome to the world. He was going to Auburn that day. And so I think Bo has actually been in one of the more unfair sort of situations by proxy, I guess, sort of his own doing. But because he went there, he could have gone somewhere else. He was a five-star. But y'all know that situation. I think Bo has had a less than fair overall situation. And I've said he's learned some bad habits, but self-preservation. But he is skilled and he's a veteran. And that matters. And they got studs on defense. And I'm going to say depth I actually love in the back seven. Linebackers are just fantastic. And then suddenly you look around, and as long as you don't have with the Auburn secondary, what you've already had one case of with the Florida State offensive line, this was about to happen. Do you know what week four is going to be because normal redshirt rules come back now? We're about to have our transfer week. Guys who have appeared in four games but aren't liking their touches or their snaps on defense they're going to transfer. But right now, Auburn's got really nice depth, especially in the secondary. So I like all of that. That's what I like. Well, what don't you like? Ain't nothing I don't like. I'm telling you, this is what I do like. There is no category of what I don't like. There's a category of what I don't know. I don't know who the go-to receiver will be on 3rd and 15. Like, you know what? This is not against Akron or Alabama State where we're trying to, you know, play call based on recruiting or padding stats. It's 3rd and 15 on the road, and we can't put our defense right back because we've had 3 straight 3-and-outs. That sort of 3rd and 15. I don't know who that guy is. Is it really Demetrius Robertson? I don't know that. I see, that's 3rd and 15. I don't know if the offensive line can mash on 3rd and 1. And the feel I have about this game, it will be spilling over with both those situations, 3rd and 15 and 3rd and 1. Regarding the receivers, like, I don't know how Kobe Hudson's career is going to play out. I don't know if Demetrius Robertson really just needed the opportunity. See, he's a stud. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. Shedrick Jackson, he can run a hook and catch the ball. I know that. What about 3rd and 15 against a good defense, specifically good secondary, on the road on 3rd and 15? What about that? I don't know any of that. I've gave you my summary yesterday. I think this is a bit much for Auburn right now. It may not be in as little. It may not be on Saturday night. It may not be too much. I think it's a bit much right now. Maybe in another month when I know more, then I will feel differently when you're into the meat of the SEC slate. But this is a real live fire breather. And for the questions that I have, I don't know about the offensive line. And I don't know about the receivers, any of them really. It seems a bit much to overcome against that team, that environment.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
In today's fast-paced world, your business deserves banking solutions that are as dynamic and cost-effective as you are. Solutions like free business checking from LGE Community Credit Union, free online and mobile banking, no minimum balance required, plus no maintenance fees and dividends on your balance. At LGE, we're a smarter way to bank. See what's possible for your business at lgeccu.org. No monthly maintenance fees. Other service fees such as NSF, overdraft, wire, and stop payment fees still apply. Not all businesses will qualify. Membership eligibility and base savings account that keeps a $5 minimum balance required.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Players can teach each other as much as they want. Man, Makuba couldn't get enough. And Nolan has been an incredible asset and teacher for all those guys, but we're super excited to get him back, and I know he's excited to go play.
Dabo talking about, I was about to say senior Nolan Turner. He may be one of those like super seniors, I believe, which is so much better of a term than COVID freshman. But COVID freshman is because every freshman from last season is at worst a redshirt freshman because everybody was granted a redshirt. And that will apply to like the traditional redshirt where you didn't play at all. There was a guy, do you remember Anthony Morelli at Penn State? He played a few snaps at the end of a Penn State Delaware game. And it burned his entire redshirt freshman year redshirt. You should have coaches just make horrid decisions like that. But traditionally, if you played at all, well, that's your year. So you couldn't play any. And then they changed it where you can appear in up to four. Okay. So if that's you last year, you either didn't play at all or you appeared in up to four games, you're just a redshirt freshman. If you appeared more than four and you still are classified as a freshman, you're a COVID freshman, which is an unofficial designation, but that's just what it is. I believe Nolan Turner is the super senior, and he's played a lot of football, but just not this season. So he was one of the guys, along with Tyler Davis, that before the Georgia games, all of a sudden it was Thursday night or Friday, I think it was maybe, and these Georgia fans, we were broadcasting from the Hooters in Charlotte. Georgia fans start just running up to me. What about Clemson injuries? And what about COVID this? And what about whatever? And Nolan Turner was who, and Justin Ross was the other, which was a complete rumor. But Nolan Turner was the other, but he's coming back. So that's that. What up, Dan?
Not much. This is another drive-in, and this came to mind. A lot of times the show to me comes to mind when I'm on the roadways and I'm usually getting annoyed with people in front of me. Stop slamming on your brake. All those different types of things, the great things that happen when you are on the roadways. But when I am doing my opening segment in my head, I thought about just how good of a job USC is, and it finally came to mind for me what this job is going to entail. Chuck, not only are you going to need a guy who is a fantastic recruiter, because in order to be able to win, you need to be able to keep players in the Los Angeles area. Okay, that's a given. We know that. X's and O's, hiring a staff, all those different types of things. I need somebody who can go on Shark Tank. Because what I think this job is going to entail is it's going to be where you have to have somebody who really, in certain ways, is like what Kirby Smart just recently did at Georgia. And even Nick Saban years ago at Alabama. Both places who know how to win, have won in the past, but it was one of those where the coach came in and convinced the Board of Trustees and the university leadership, you're just not doing it the right way. That's the way that the new coach, along with the AD and whoever else is in charge of fundraising, is going to need to be with the studio head that is one of the decision makers in terms of how the money is spent at USC, or even George Lucas, or whoever it is that makes those decisions at USC. Is it needs to be, hey, we can still have the academic standards. We can have all these different types of things. I need a football facility. I need to stop practicing outside of the baseball stadium here on campus. I actually need a practice facility in a weight room and a recruiting lounge and everything that goes along with what they have up at Oregon with Phil Knight writing checks like nobody's business. And then out in the SEC, the way things are doing, you want Auburn and Clemson and Georgia and Alabama and LSU and all these different types of schools to stop coming into the Southland and start getting our players to go east. Do this, and we can start making this again. Take a look at what's happened in Tuscaloosa with the economic impact that has happened, everything of the such, all of those different types of things. I think if you show these people, if we know one thing about rich people, Chuck, you give them a reason to spend their money, they'll spend their money. That's going to be the key for the next coach.
There is a certain coldness, in my opinion, that is required to win championships at the highest level, not division titles, in college football. And, you know, the difference between Mike Shula as head coach and Nick Saban, pretty stark. Between Clay Helton and whoever is next, USC is hoping pretty stark. There are a lot of examples like that throughout college football, no doubt.
Huge college and pro football weekend ahead. Hi, I'm Dan Matthews, and let's get a look at some odds brought to you by BetUS. Let's start with Michigan State at number 24, Miami. Noon kick in South Florida. Hurricanes, 6-point favorite, minus 225 on the money line. Spartans are plus 185, over under 56.5. Number 3, Oklahoma, home for Nebraska. Sooners giving 22.5. They're minus 1,800 money line. Huskers, plus 1,000. Over under 62. Mississippi State on the road at Memphis. Bulldogs are just a 3-point favorite. Tigers are plus 145 on the money line. Over under 64 in a hook. Number 22, Auburn at number 10, Penn State. Nittany Lions are a 5-point favorite. Penn State minus 190 on the money line. Auburn plus 165. Over under 52.5. Number 1, Alabama in the swamp, taking on number 11, Florida. Tied, favored by 14 and a hook. Bama, minus 650 on the money line. Gators, plus 475. Over under, 60 points. In the NFL, Titans are out west, taking on the Seahawks. Seattle, home favorite at 6. Tennessee, plus 225 on the money line. Seahawks, minus 265, over under is 54. Sunday night, Chiefs at Ravens. Kansas City is a road favorite at 3.5. Chiefs are minus 190 money line. Ravens plus 165, over under is 55. Want to make some money? Do it very easily when you enter the following promo codes on BetUS.com. How about SST125? With this promo code, you get 125% of a sign-up bonus. For example, you deposit $100, you're getting an extra $125. How about cryptocurrency? SST200 with this promo code. That is 200% on a sign-up bonus for crypto deposits. For example, that crypto deposit, $100, you're getting $200 extra. This is all courtesy of BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years.
In today's fast-paced world, your business deserves banking solutions that are as dynamic and cost-effective as you are. Solutions like free business checking from LGE Community Credit Union, free online and mobile banking, no minimum balance required, plus no maintenance fees and dividends on your balance. At LGE, we're a smarter way to bank. See what's possible for your business at lgeccu.org. No monthly maintenance fees. Other service fees such as NSF, overdraft, wire, and stop payment fees still apply. Not all businesses will qualify. Membership eligibility and base savings account that keeps a $5 minimum balance required.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
As a young boy growing up in the South, one of the highlights was making my way to a major league stadium a few times every summer, and I would get my Gillette All-Star Game ballot, and it was one of those Chad's things where you get a little Q-tip or a paper clip or just something, just pop out the little pieces of, and you could vote for whoever was on the ballot. There was always someone who wasn't available, though, because they didn't expect him to be good. And so the teams would nominate. They would call National League office or American League office, say, yeah, here are the six players, put them on the ballot. They would leave the rest of the players off the ballot. And so there would be times as like sixth grade Chuck, and I'm trying to vote for this guy who should be starting the All-Star. And I was like, oh, he's not available. First 2 weeks of the season, that has been Jarquez Hunter. If you play like daily fantasy prize picks or DraftKings or whatever, Jarquez Hunter has not been available because there was no reason that the 13th highest rated recruit on the 19th highest rated class should have been any sort of fantasy football option. Here's what I know. He can run fast in a straight line. Boy, he looks explosive. We're going to talk about that and a lot of other items with the Auburn Tigers as they head up to play Penn State on Saturday with a good friend of ours, publisher of the Auburn Rival site. It is J.G. Tate. Brother, how are you today?
Hey, now. Glad to be on these airways, brother.
Hey, let's talk Jarquez Hunter a little bit. I was asking before the opener, you know, about the difference between Tank and Sean Shivers. I was like, they're not really. They're just different heights. But what about that third down, that change of pace? Who's going to be the other back? And a couple of different folks mentioned Jarquez Hunter. What was your thought about him going into the season?
Going into the season, man, he's a great story. He has that work ethic that Dee Ford had a few years ago. Auburn's had through the years, and I've been covering him 25 years or so. They have some kids who are just really into fitness, and I don't necessarily mean just, you know, calisthenics, but like weightlifting, getting up and down stairs. Those guys tend to overachieve, particularly early in their career, and that's what Jarquez Hunter is. He was a state power clean champion. He's a kid that like went out for fun during the summer and did stadiums by himself. Just up and down the upper deck at Jordan-Hare Stadium. He just does that because it's fun to him and interesting to him. I cannot relate to that. And when I hear that about somebody, I start thinking that's a kid I need to keep an eye on. And so I did. And, man, he's been quite a story so far.
Well, let's talk about the offense around him. You know, I gave the disclaimer. You beat two teams 122-10 the first couple of games. That means that you probably weren't very stressed. Beyond Tank Bigsby, which we know about, and I think beyond Bo Nix, whose skill set we know about at least, tell me something that you feel strongly about, maybe the offensive line. I like the technique they played at least. They look sharper, but tell me what you think you found out on offense the first couple of games.
The wideouts are probably a little better than I thought they were. And Shed Jackson, I thought he was just an interchangeable replacement-level player, and he's been better than that. He had a drop last week that was kind of unfortunate. But other than that, he's played at a pretty high level. So he's a guy that I kind of had written off as just like, you know, some dude that would play 20 snaps and block pretty well and, you know, Bo Jackson's nephew. That's great. But he's better than that. So he surprised me in that way for sure. And TJ had a bad first game, but he had a terrific second game. The reports out of fall camp or that he was actually throwing the ball really well. So I'm going to go ahead and think that first game was an anomaly, and I think he might have a little bit more value going forward. I mean, I don't think he's going to unseat Bo Nix, but he's a good backup to have, a really good one.
Continuing with J.G. Tate, follow him on Twitter at J.G. Tate. Again, publisher of the Auburn Rival site, does a tremendous job covering the Tigers. Let's talk wide receiver and kick returner and handoffs, et cetera. Demetrius Robertson, I believe the phrase is he's been featured the first 2 weeks. How much of that is real, do you believe?
Boy, quite a bit. I think they're going to be relying on him, and I think when you're somebody who's going to get, you know, six targets a game and get all those special teams options, he's a guy who's going to put up numbers. I think it's a great story. I mean, the fact that he goes from Cal back home to Georgia, didn't really find a featured role there, but he bounces over to Auburn, who really needed a wide receiver number one, and he's that guy. They love him as a vertical threat. They love him challenging for balls a little bit shorter, and they love him as a return guy. So they're really fired up about him. I'm a little skeptical wearing zero, though. I think as a wideout, you need to wear an actual numeral instead of zero, an integer.
You know, Jay, I don't know if you ever listened to the program, but one of my recurring themes is on the side of the fridge under a magnet, we have two lists. One is called life rules. The other is called sports rules. I'm going to put the wide receiver wearing zero. I'm going to put that on the sports rules. That doesn't need to happen. All right.
So you're you're with me on that. Okay, great, great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about – you were talking about the great stories. I remember, I think it was Daniel Thomas. Wasn't he the kid out of Montgomery, like the last scholarship, and he basically turned himself – he turned himself into an NFL player.
That's exactly right.
John Samuel Shanker, as I recall, he was sort of the consolation prize at tight end. When Gus didn't get the first or second or third or whatever, however it played out. And Auburn, as I recall, was by far his biggest offer. He's turned himself into a ball player, hadn't he?
Yeah, he's really good. I think he's got NFL potential. The trick on John Samuel always was he's a great baseball player, and he plays for the Auburn baseball team as well. And I think that if he had just committed to baseball, he'd probably be a minor league player right now of some significance. I mean, you can never predict that stuff, but he's a terrific athlete. I think part of the reason that so few big schools went after him was just because of the baseball thing, so that's part of the deal there. But, you know, Gus is, we're going to use tight ends, and then he gets like six on the roster and doesn't throw to him. So
yeah,
he's been a guy that's just kind of been toiling in obscurity in a way, and now he's with a coach that cares about tight ends, who uses tight ends, and now he's getting a bigger role. I think he's terrific.
Xavion, Kobe, Elijah, pick a receiver that you think may emerge.
Probably Kobe Hudson now. I mean, he's a guy that didn't get much run last year, but he's the guy of the guys you just mentioned who's kind of jumped up a little bit, gives you a little bit of that shimmy shake, and I think he can help them as an inside receiver. Xavion Capers is okay, I guess. J.J. Evans is okay, I guess. It's really basically going to have to be Shed, Demetrius, and Kobe doing it.
All right, wrapping up with J.G. Tate, let's flip it over to defense. And tell me about the defensive line and the depth there, what you suspect, because going against Penn State and having to pressure Clifford, I mean, that's one of the, like, two most important things for this game for me Saturday night. Just talk about the defensive front for Auburn and their ability to do that.
They have really impressed me. I thought Tony Fair, if you'd asked me 3 months ago, he would have been the guy that impressed me, and he's not. Well, he impresses me with how big he is. But he's not the player. It's Marcus Harris, number 50. I'm a Raiders fan. I love Max Crosby. He's a defensive end, as you guys know, plays for the Raiders and gives it hell every single snap. And I feel like Marcus Harris does that. The numbers aren't there yet, but, I mean, he's in there causing problems constantly, and I think that active, violent attitude that he has inside is eventually going to yield some big dividends, and it might be in this game too. I mean, Colby Wooden's been good from the outside. T.D. Moultrie's finally back doing the things that we thought he would do 3 or 4 years ago, bringing it from the outside. So you put Harris inside, Moultrie and Wooden outside, and I feel like Auburn has the at least the potential to do some real harassment there at Penn State.
Last guy I want to ask you about, and you mentioned Moultrie there. How big has he gotten? And I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm saying, as I recall, I remember a much lighter guy running around a couple of years ago. Is that just like, I don't know, the shoulder pads, the flak jacket, the number 99, or has he gotten bigger?
Yeah, I think changing numbers makes him bigger. Again, we could talk about those sports rules. Going from 55 to 99, he looks bigger.
Okay,
he's a big dude. Anyways, he's a great athlete. And for him, it was always just kind of a mental thing. I just didn't think he took the game seriously enough the last couple years. And, man, when you do that, you're playing with and against guys who are elite, and they do care, and they do have that emotional investment, you fall behind very quickly. He has figured that out. In the last year, he's really brought it up. And, man, he's now the player that we thought he was going to be.
Yep, he looks like a monster, no doubt about that. All right, well, we got sports rules then. I need to add to the list on the side of the fridge. Jay, appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much for coming on today, man.
Thanks for giving me a chance. See you, bud.
All right, Jay Tate, again, publisher of the Auburn Rival site. And TD was a guy who was a linebacker-ish. And, again, as I'm closing my eyes and thinking back into the deep recesses of my TD Moultrie memories, which is one of the files in my brain, I'm just seeing a kid run around a bunch. And now I'm watching the first two games again, and he's on the line and not really standing up again, as I'm trying to recall. He looks like this big, giant defensive end. And I was like, has he added a lot more weight than I knew about? He's just this. He's not like a 6'4", 6'5", sort of long, lanky, you know, just hoses off his shoulders, you know, that sort of defensive end. He's almost like an anchor, pinch down against the run, force it back inside, just tough, rugged kid out there. But like I said, just really good the first 2 weeks. And again, the offensive line, that's one of the because I was asking Jay about the pass rush, the depth, the ability to pressure Clifford is who I'm assuming, barring injury, will be back there for Penn State. The ability to pressure him throughout the game, because there's nothing that wears out a big one more than having to rush a quarterback. Now, that's the description of what he's doing. What's he doing? Oh, you got to go rush the quarterback. What does that involve? All right, that's what's going to wear out a Biggin. It's the acceleration. They don't like to accelerate. They don't like to have to explode out from a start, and you have to do that on every single snap. If it's a pass play, you have to continue it because the pass set, you're going to two steps back instead of firing out. So it and then you have to chase downfield. And a running quarterback, it's the same. I'm telling you, there's nothing that's worse for the defensive line. Nothing that will wear them out like trying to chase down a quarterback. Nothing. Even get pounded on in the run game. Totally different. And so the depth, more so than the initial four, certainly. Kid from Northwestern that transferred in. I remember when he got there, well, replaced Big Cat Bryant. Well, that's not exactly true. But he's played some. And I guess I would assume he's played at Penn State. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else on the roster. But again, that's just going to be an anecdotal sort of it was what I said. They were at Camp Randall in 1931. All right, now they're heading up to play Penn State. Other than the anecdotal, and it's going to be a pretty cool sight to watch. Other than that, I don't know that's really going to other than the noise and the like physical playing out of, wait a minute, I got to use a timeout because we got ourselves down on the 4-yard line. But as far as not being able to perform because of nerves or butterflies or whatever, I'd be really surprised if any SEC squad, you send Missouri in there, and I don't think that they, again, would be, you know, off-put by the enormous stage there. Not at all. It just normally doesn't happen, not to an SEC team. All right, we're going to break, come back, wrap up Hour 1.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We continue on this Thursday. I can't identify one reason to start Luke Doty this week in Athens. I can't come up with one, anything other than feel and the kid's exciting. I can't come up with anything concrete or tangible at all to start Luke Doty against the Georgia Bulldogs this weekend. I can't even go with something that is true, the most important reason possible to start Luke Doty. Do you know what that is? Last week's starter wasn't very good. Isn't that the most like relevant reason you could have to change the starting lineup? Hey, I'm thinking of changing the lineup. Why? Last week's starter wasn't good. Oh, yeah, okay, makes sense. Then you start discussing, all right, well, who? If I can drive this home a little further, last week's starter at quarterback, Zeb Nolan, he wasn't very good against the East Carolina Pirates. I don't care one whit. Not in the least. You have to start Zeb Nolan. If Doty struggles when he comes in, going back to Nolan isn't yanking Doty. It's going back to your starter. Do the opposite. I'm telling you, there is one thing in life that I always notice more than others. The predictable outcome that was ignored. The predictable outcome that if you spent 2 seconds troubleshooting or even just glancing down the road a few feet, that literally, like, you were Thelma Louise at 2 miles an hour, driving right off the cliff. The predictable outcome, it always bothers me. And if you start Luke Doty, you are choosing failure. The predictable outcome is that Doty is going to struggle against Georgia. Why? Because I expect every quarterback to struggle against Georgia, especially a redshirt freshman who hasn't played so far this season. Oh, with a poor ground game and zero dynamic receivers. They couldn't run the ball against East Carolina. Against Eastern Illinois, one of the worst teams you'll see on anybody's schedule this year. Against Eastern Illinois, they averaged 4.6 yards carry. Oregon hit 7.1 on the road against the Buckeyes. And they're 4.6 at home against Eastern Illinois. They have, and now again, by my expectation, one of the few, because I was just talking about what I know about Auburn and what I don't know about Auburn. My knowledge of Auburn, none of it's been contradicted so far. None of my Auburn knowledge has been contradicted. What I expected coming into the season was Tank Bigsby's most productive back could be in the SEC. I think he's one of the best backs in America. And he's averaging like 10 yards a carry because Brian Harsin has said, well, give him some carries, but they hadn't worked him and they had no need to. So I had expectations. I thought I knew this about Tank Bigsby, and I was right. I thought the defense had, ball players here, and then linebackers might be as productive as there are in the SEC. Again, I don't say best. That's subjective. And I know Bama had all three first-teamers, and none of them was even toe-to-toe. But Auburn may have the most productive bunch in the conference, and their secondary is loaded with ball players. Not, Champ Bailey and Darrell Revis, but some really good ball. Like Roger McCreary, you know what he is? Really, really good. And there's like four other guys fighting for scraps and starting job. And the kid from West Virginia is like, wait a minute, I came here to play. So I thought that coming into the season. That has been confirmed. I haven't had anything contradicted. That everything I'm looking at, the indicators for, can't say that about South Carolina. South Carolina, I thought that their offensive line would be above average. Like solid, that we can devote the necessary attention to things like developing a receiver core. That hasn't occurred. That offensive line has not been above average. That offensive line has actually been poor is a strong word, but poor in stretches, like last Saturday as a stretch. The offensive line has not been good, and I had expectations. See, that's the difference. I can say Auburn. I can't say confirmed. I want to say I haven't had anything that I suspected about Auburn contradicted. Like, oh, my gosh, I was way off. South Carolina, I was wrong about the offensive line. And I guess by proxy, I was wrong about the running backs to this point. Now, the issue is, I was wrong in thinking that the offensive line would be pretty good and the backs would be same sort of profile, but tough, physical, move the sticks, pound you all day. Yeah, I'm wrong about both those. And you have possibly played two of the worst teams, maybe the two worst teams on your schedule. Maybe. Doty is going to struggle. He's the better quarterback. He's the better choice for Saturday, if your goal is to beat Tennessee next season, that'll start helping. And I'm all ears. All right, tell me how Doty comes out of the tunnel Saturday night and how I'm wrong about this. Tell me how he starts against Georgia and is able to play competently, and that's what I'm talking about. That's all. Not win. Not even actually compete, though that always has to be the standard. Oh, no matter who you are, if you are Eastern Illinois against South Carolina – and you are a 40-point dog to a team that 2 weeks later is a 30-point dog itself. So, I don't know. Would Eastern Illinois be a 70, Georgia 70 points better? So you've already played the poorest two teams on your schedule. I want you to be competent. That's it. Tell me how the offense functions in any reasonably productive way with Doty on the field. Okay. What you're running through your brain right now? Yeah, no, I really don't understand how a redshirt freshman who has not played so far this season, the get-right scenario for him is to throw him in the pool against Georgia in Athens, and that does matter. Again, Bo and Auburn going up to Penn State, I don't think South Carolina's spooked by the stage. I think a redshirt freshman who hasn't played at all, right off the high dive, 12-foot waters. Have fun. That's different. That means the performance you're seeing in your brain right now, I said, imagine Luke Doty running out of the tunnel and his first action is of the season is the first snap on the field against Georgia's defense. What you were just saying, oh my gosh. Yeah, that scenario needs to come as Doty coming off the bench, not Doty as the starter. Because if Luke Doty comes off the bench in the middle of the second quarter and is 4-for-14 with a fumble and a pick, you just go back to Zeb Nolan and it's like, you know what? Post game, we wanted to get him some action. We wanted to see where he was in his recovery. We knew physically he could play without hurting himself more. So we just wanted to see performance-wise where you can say all that if you're Shane Beamer. If you start him and he's 4-for-14, dude, you yanked your starter. And the only reason he was in the starting lineup is because you already knew he was – all the stuff that you can say, hey, we're still evaluating and finding out, that's why he came off the bench. You start him, and you're supposed to know all that. It's a big, big difference to a quarterback, especially a very young, mostly inexperienced quarterback. There is only one way for Shane Beamer to do this, to start Doty. You know what I'm saying? It is a predictable result. You got to start Nolan. Bring Doty off the bench.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business. And it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.